I think the Lord is wonderful. I think the Lord deserved a big amen for that one. Amen. Well, we've got to wake up sometime. Wake ourselves up. Say, hey, the Lord is in this house. Yeah. You ready to get in the Word of God today? One way to approach the Word of God is wholeheartedly. Amen. Just open yourself up. You know, if God loved you enough to die for you, send his son into this world, you know he's got your best interests at heart. So why wouldn't you come with him with a whole heart and approach him expectantly, knowing that he wants to fulfill all of his promises and word in your life. Amen. Today, we're continuing our series, Whose Report Will You Believe? And last week, we talked about the arm of the Lord. And we talked about these expressions in the Old Testament that were meant to give us revelation, and all of which point to Jesus. And we understood that the arm of the Lord is really a person. That's Jesus. Amen? Amen. The arm of the Lord. Now, God is not weak. His arm is strong. Praise God. And today we're going to talk about revelation knowledge versus sense knowledge. So let's, you know, you have two basic forms of knowledge. You have sense knowledge, which is the knowledge base that we accumulate, all of which comes through our five physical senses, those things that we've seen, things that we've heard, things that we've smelled, you know, as things that we have tasted and touched. Those are the five physical senses, and that forms probably 99% of most people's knowledge base. Paul called it carnal knowledge, or the flesh. He called it the natural man, or natural knowledge, knowledge that relates to this world. And I want to tell you something, that the devil has sold us right down the river with a bunch of paganism to take this and call anything spiritual nothing more than fantasy. And it's not. In fact, the spirit realm is more real than the physical realm, because the word of God is spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And it was his word, that spirit word, that created the entire universe. Like that. Amen. So let's get it right into our weekly confession here. You got an open heart, right? So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Did you realize that you have warrior angels that are ready to do battle for you?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Did you realize that you have messenger angels delivering messages to people that you have been interceding for and praying for, creating events and bringing about opportunities to make it easier for them to be saved? Do you know that you have those? You need to know that. You know, people who have been around Christianity for some time and you start talking about angels, they say, you're getting spooky. No, it's real. Jesus used angels in his ministry. You can look at all through the book of Acts. The precedence is there for the ministry of. Did you know that every promise of God is free for the taking? Every promise, it's free for the taking. It comes with his guarantee, his stamp that says, yeah and amen. I got scripture for all of this. Did you know that every blessing of God has already been given, and he has showed us in his word exactly how to bring that blessing into manifestation in our lifetime here now in this present world. The rest of the church world is waiting for God to do something. They're asking him to do things that he has already done. That's why a lot of people don't get healed, because they're asking God to do something he's already done. He's just come and receive. It's the same thing with salvation. People say, well, I'm trying to get healed. Did you try to get saved? did you work at it real hard? You just came and received. It's the same thing with healing. This is what Lori and I, many years ago, figured out, that you just come and receive. Come and receive. It is under the covenant. It is a provision for us under the covenant that Jesus bought. So in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, Isaiah said, who has believed our report? Our report is our announcement, our declaration, our doctrine even. Who has believed our report? And then he answers the question. Those who have received the revelation of the arm of the Lord. Revelation knowledge is the fuel of faith. When the word starts to become bread to us, food to us, meat to us, our way, our truth, and our life, that's when the word becomes real to us and it starts manifesting things in our life, in our attitudes. It starts to take root in reshaping our attitudes, reshaping our expectations, reshaping them and take them out from the natural of all the disappointments and hurts and wounds and so forth of that, and start to bring healing into those things and redirect them to expect God to answer prayers that he said he would answer, so that God's will would be accomplished in our life. Who has believed our report? Those who walk in revelation, knowledge. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says this. This is a prayer that Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. It's in the New Testament, so really it's a prayer for all the church, all the time. And he prayed this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what, wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, if you could figure out who Jesus was, who God was, if you could figure out everything about him and his will that concerns you and all of these things, if you could do that by yourself, you would not need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is what he's praying for, to tell us that you need something. You need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit. Keep on stepping on something here. What is that? The Holy Spirit. It's not a mouse. He gone. We had a church mouse in here the other night, and we're trying to catch him and so forth. And well, you know, we couldn't catch him, and he ran into the fellowship room under one of those big bookshelves. And so we had to put a trap out for him, and he has gone on to his great reward. Let's put it that way. And, you know, God loves animals. Heaven is filled with them. No spiders or mosquitoes in heaven, right? Or, you're distracting me. But I'm not going to tell you what Rick did this morning, because we don't need that. But anyhow, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What does that mean? Revelation knowledge is something you see. Not with your physical eyes. It's like when somebody's trying to tell you something, trying to explain something to you, and you say, I see. What you're saying is, I understand. You have a picture of what's going on, what they're trying to tell you, what they're trying to convey to you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened to know three things. The hope you've been called to, the riches of his glory in the inheritance that's laid up for you, inheritance that you can tap into in this lifetime and appropriate in this lifetime, and also the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, in every name that is named, and has not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. You are his body, and the fuel of that body is revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. Wisdom shows you how to do with what you know. Shows you what to do with what you know. Wisdom uses knowledge. Wisdom also sees consequences and results of actions taken. So wisdom really has to do with the future. And a word of wisdom, a gift of the Spirit, a word of wisdom usually has to do with the future. And it's mixed in with prophecy in the Old Testament. You'll see that. That the word, the prophecies were loaded with words of wisdom. So we can know what's going to happen. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He will take the things of mine and show it to you. He will show you things to come. Amen? The Holy Spirit's here, by the way. And he wants to impart gifts to each of us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be pretty sure. No, that you might know. We were in a conference call one time, a Zoom meeting one time, and the guy says, you know, one of the ministers there, he says, you know, and he came to the end of some things. He says, I've just got to figure things out. And I said, you don't need to figure anything out. You just need a revelation of the hope of your calling. If you're in a position where you say, you know, I just got to figure these things out. Well, you can do that if you like to, but you're operating on your own, in your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own limitations. But if you get a revelation of what he's called you to, you'll drop all of that stuff and walk in it. You'll walk in the right direction to what he's called you to. Everybody say, amen. 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 He'll do that. He'll work with you. And you may be confused and you may be scared. I love Joyce Meyer wrote this book called Do It Afraid. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing it anyway. You know, even though you're fearing and trembling and whatever, you're not really sure. The Apostle Paul said that too. He said, I was in fear and trembling among you guys. I didn't know what to expect, but I was just doing what God told me to do. Talking about the Spirit, and demonstration of the Spirit and power. And God showed up. How many of you know that Paul ran his course and finished his course? And a crown of righteousness was laid up for him. Oh, I can't wait to meet, to look into his eyes and say, thank you. Thank you for all you went through to get the covenant, the new covenant, and all of its revelation in that thing. The letters of Paul are so filled with revelation and understand and wisdom. Do you know what they really are? In John chapter, I think it was 16 or 15, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Paul's letters are the thoughts of Jesus that he carried away with him from this world. and downloaded them to the Apostle Paul so that you can get them. Because on this side of the that side of the resurrection, they wouldn't have understood a thing about it. He would have been talking. They wouldn't have had any place for it. But after he rose from the dead, they said, wow. So then Paul told them what the power of that resurrection was. This is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This goes beyond sense knowledge. It goes beyond what you can see or imagine in your heart. It's not imagined, it's revealed. This is something that you and I, every individual believer, needs to pray for, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Kenneth Hagin used to say, if you pray this prayer 3 times a day for 6 months, the Bible will be a different book to you. The Holy Spirit will be a different person to you. And your life will be so different, you'll never want to look back. Why? Because the Spirit of God will start revealing to you things that you have never been, never able to hear, see, or think before. Let's look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is not the eyes in your head. This is not your physical eyes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Did you ever realize you have angels, messenger angels, warrior angels, you have guardian angels, you have all. Did you ever realize the Holy Spirit is always with you and in you, that he may abide with you forever, the Bible says? Jesus said that. Did you ever realize, what is a realization? It's when, yeah, go ahead, Shirley. Sudden. Good. Because normally it is something sudden, a realization that happens. And maybe it's about something that's always been there, but you've never seen, but you just suddenly woke up to it. and all of a sudden it's real to you. You realized it. It became real to you. That's a realization. Now, and it's good that you realize that, but what that is, if you're a believer, you don't have to wonder whether the Holy Spirit is talking to you. He's talking to you. And it's good that you realize that. It's good that he revealed something to you, but what most people do with that is they say, wow, that's cool. I never realized that before. And then they go on their merry way and leave it there. And they just go. Next time you're fellowshipping with the Lord and just really praying and just fellowshipping with the Lord, ask him to remind you of those things that he spoke to you, those realizations, those impressions, those intuitions, the things that you suddenly realize, and ask him to show you those things again. He will. I mean, if it's his word, if he spoke it to you, that's eternal. It's there. But we activate it. It's active, and usually it's voice activated when you start to speak it. Got that? Yeah. The word of God is voice, the power of God is voice activated. Jesus taught us that in Mark 11:23. Don't leave it behind. And if you did, God's big enough to forgive you, to pick you up and say, yeah, I'll show it to you. Come on over here. I'll tell you all about it. And then you can give him your whole attention and say, yeah, I didn't realize that. But now I have something working inside of me. I can see that. And just go to him and let him start to talk to you about it and reveal it. This is what he did with Adam. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day and just started teaching him, talking, teaching him things, revealing things to him, showing him things. I used to think, that's kind of graphic, but I used to think when Adam first ate, something, and he had to eliminate it. I mean, come on. No, God taught him all about this. He knew what food was for, how it worked, how his body worked and everything. God walked with him and he taught him all of those things. God will walk with you and teach you the things that you need to know too. Do you ever wonder those things? I don't know. I must be strange, but you kind of wonder those things. Before I realized all of this stuff, I used to think, if Adam woke up and he realized they had to eat. No, he was created. God worked with him. God taught him all kinds of things. And we have a living covenant with a Savior, with an advocate, with a high priest who will make sure that we have understanding of everything that we need. Amen? Amen. John 14, verse 26 says this, that he will teach us all things. Has he changed? He will teach us all things. How many things does that leave out? Nothing. No, not one thing. These are ministries of the Holy Spirit that go beyond your five physical senses, because if you could figure it out yourself, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit for that. He'll teach you things that you don't know. Why would he teach you things you already know? No. And just before this, he said, he who loves me, I will send him another comforter whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't. They're sense driven. They're sense knowledge. John 15:26, but when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. What does that mean? The Voice translation puts it this way. He says, he will point to the truth that concerns me. You know, the world will give you all kinds of information about Jesus, who they think he is, what they say he is and everything. But no, Jesus has to be revealed to you. Jesus has to be revealed to you, who he is, what he does, all he has and all everything he brings to you. And when you're born again, he even reveals who you are at the same time. This is why he gave us the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, and you read them like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and keep reading and reading and reading, and then you get this picture of Jesus in your, it starts to load you up, and your imagination starts expanding, and you see Jesus, 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 and you know what you're really discovering? Who you are. Because in your spirit, you are just like Jesus. This is what we've been preaching for 6.5 years in this church, that your spirit man is wall to wall Holy Ghost. It's your mind that needs renewing and your body that needs to be presented to him. John 15:26, he will bring the words of Jesus to remembrance. Whew. John 16, verses 13 and 14, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will what? Show you things to come. That's exciting. Aren't you? Doesn't that excite? This stuff excites me. He shall glorify me. You know, too many Christians, too many preachers are trying to glorify themselves, take credit for everything. This is a problem too in the church when we start taking credit for prayers. So-and-so got saved. And yeah, I prayed him through. I pray, I heard Keith Moore say this one time, but he says, well, what about the people that witnessed to him 15 times? And what about when he finally came to church and the guy out in the parking lot directing him with a big smile on his. What about the ushers when he came in and they found a nice seat for him? What about all these people involved? What about the preacher? What about Jesus who died for him? You know, so don't really, to take credit for something like that, yes, do pray. Do pray. And if you see it, just say, Lord, thank you. Keep it to yourself. You don't want to take credit for something that you have no share in. Your share will be decided at a future point. Just be happy with it. It's you and God. That's between you and him. And the things that you build up in a relationship that just between you and God only increases your relationship with God. And don't try to impress people. Just be impressive. Amen? He'll glorify me. He will guide you into all truth. What does the truth do? Makes you free. The truth makes you free. He will guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And he doesn't deal in shades of truth. He is the truth. He will show you things. He will glorify Jesus. And he will take what Jesus and show it to us. There's seven things right there. And then he'll convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It says earlier in that. And what he does is convinces the world, those who are in the world, he'll convince them of their sin, that you need a Savior. And then he will convince those who did it of righteousness. The Holy Spirit needs to convince you all the time that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Doesn't he? I need that reminding too. Because you come along and you think, and you're so busy doing stuff under the weight of the world, under, you know, the shadow of things. And once in a while, the light just, poof, that's right, I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And he reminds you of these sparks from the Holy Spirit. Just convincing, convincing, convincing. Of sin because they believe not on me. Verse 9 says that. Do you know there's only one sin that's keeping people out of heaven? That they don't believe in Jesus. They don't rely on Jesus. They're not trusting him with their eternal salvation. There's only one sin that's keeping people out of heaven, and that is not believing in Jesus. Praise God. I'm trying to turn a corner here and get into something, but things like I just can't get past a certain something here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll go here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby." Remember when in 1 Peter 2:2, he said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." When you're born, when you're born again, you're not born a full-grown Christian, a mature, you are born a baby Christian. Your spirit has just been born. One thing I like about that is that if a newborn baby doesn't have any past, a newborn baby has no past to repent of or to regret, or no sorrows, nothing. When you're born again, you are a new creation, but you're a new baby, and you need to drink the milk of the word so that your spirit can mature and grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby." And then it continues to say in verse 14, "But solid food belongs to them, those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You can walk in revelation knowledge to the point where you even have your natural senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, I remember back in my hippie days. Is that hard to imagine for you guys? Boy. But back in my hippie days, we used to have these expressions and everything. It says, man, I'm picking up some bad vibes from that dude. You remember that? Or, oh, man, I'm picking up some good vibes from them, man. Yeah, good vibes, yeah. That's the way we talked. But God delivered us. But what is that? That's, you're sensing something. You're either picking up bad vibes or good vibes from these people or that person or whatever it is. There's something there. Well, you can have, through the Holy Spirit and growing and maturing, what this is saying is that you can add spiritual revelation. And instead of your, this is when you find out the purpose of your body, the purpose of your physical man in this earth is to receive from the Word of God, have it become revelation down here so that your body can receive the benefits of that Word in strength, healing, nutrition, and so forth from that Word. Now your body is driven by revelation knowledge instead of sense knowledge that says, that hurts, man. You, and then the devil says, you got arthritis. He says, oh, no, I'm not taking that thought. I remember Larry Chappell used to say, I'm not signing for that package. But you can take that thought and say it. Jesus said, take no thought saying. You can take that thought and say, I think I'm getting arthritis or something. Or you can say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am not the sick. I am the healed of God. And sickness is bypassing me. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read this. 1 John chapter 1. And this will give you a glimpse into the process of manifestation so that you won't have to guess anymore if God heals or of God, whatever. John chapter 1, I didn't, 1 John chapter 1, I didn't put this in there. Now, predicated on this, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen? How many, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, that doesn't mean you have to wait till heaven to get it. Right. A lot of people believe that. Heavenly places is a term used to talk about the spirit realm. What is a reality in the spirit realm? All the blessings of God are a reality in the spirit realm. So how do we get them into the natural realm? How do we see them manifest in our life? He says right here, he says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That is the process of manifestation right there. That which we have what? Heard. What comes from hearing? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. That which was, it already was, which we have heard. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? When she heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind him, and so she kept saying, it's like a harangue. It's like she kept saying, if I can touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can touch, but if I can only do it, da, da, da. And she was saying it and saying it and saying it. She heard of Jesus, and it caused her, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, what does that mean? You just got revelation. You saw something. You saw a truth in the Word of God concerning you. You heard it preached. You saw it in the Word of God. You see it. Then you look upon it. This denotes meditating on that truth. Meditating on it and meditating on it. Meditation is like chewing a cud. Doesn't make sense at first. It goes down one stomach. The cow can't use that grass, so it comes back up. Then it goes down into the second stomach, comes back up. You may hear this and hear this and hear this. It may not make sense at first, but you keep on continuing in it and chewing that cud and swallowing, chewing that cud and swallowing. That's what meditation is. All of a sudden, you're not just seeing it and looking upon it, you are handling it. It's manifesting in your body, that promise of healing. It's manifesting in your circumstances with opportunities and connections and reconciliation in your family. All kinds of things start happening. Why? Because you heard the word instead of the world. You saw what God was saying and not your situation. You were looking upon the answer and not the problem. And then you started handling the blessing of God, the promise of God, the answer of God. And all this time, it was there the whole time, as you just realized it. And it became real in your eyes. Realize, it became real in your eyes, and the eyes of your understanding were enlightened, and now you can walk in something that the world has no knowledge of. The world can't see it, so they let it pass by. But we are not of those who let things slip. When he shows us something, we'll say, thank you, Lord. Make that real in my life. Holy Spirit, make that real in my life. Help me to walk in that. I want all of that. I just don't want a corner of it, a piece of it. I don't want a day of it. I want an eternity of it. And sell yourself out to it, and you won't be sad. You will be happy because the word will be working mightily in you. I just feel led to close right now. Let's take out your bulletin. And we'll just, there's a confession on the back. For those of you, you may not be familiar with confession of faith. The Bible says there is confession of sin, but it has so much more to say about confession of faith. So our daily confession, if you confess this 3 or 4 times a day, it'll help you. Let's read this together. Read. Father, I know that the mighty arm of the Lord is working always for me, delivering me from the enemy's plans while ushering me into your wonderful will. I believe your righteous right hand is my advocate, the apostle and high priest of my confession, the mediator of our powerful new covenant. Therefore, I confess your word into my future and declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Because I walk in revelation knowledge, the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. I know the hope you have called me to, the riches I have inherited, the exceeding greatness of your power in me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, what does his power exceed? Doesn't matter. It's exceeding anything. You know, he's the greater one. Greater than what? Doesn't matter. He's greater. You can't lose. Amen? Did you get anything out of that today?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your word will not return to you void. We thank you, Father, that... We thank you, Father, that your word is incorruptible seed, that it will reproduce of its own kind righteousness, peace, joy, love, power, health and healing, deliverance and manifestations of blessings and promises. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that it all works together for our good. Because we've taken you at your word. Thank you, Father. If you love God, you'll take him at his word. Thank you, Lord. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Everybody pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly
I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that He loved me enough to die for me. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that, Jesus just made you. You know, if you prayed that right now for the first time, God came and your old man's gone. He's dead. He gone. He's got no issue ever again. You're brand new. You're brand new. Father, thank you. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will take care of you. We've seen many miracles at this altar and gifts of the Spirit. Remember, it's the Father in us. It's the Spirit in us. He does the works. Amen. You're dismissed. There's refreshments. There's food in the cafe area, and we can fellowship, get to know you a little better, and you can get to know us a little better. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night for Relationship University. And we just keep on learning, keep on growing, keep on doing. Amen.